Philippians 3, verse 4. It says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man, or if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he may trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your grace. Thank you again for your love. Thank you for the testimony of Paul and how you have used him to put part of his testimony into the scripture by your inspiration, and we thank you for that. Lord, as we consider some thoughts here, I pray you'd make it real to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I think it was a couple weeks ago, because last week we did something different with the fun night. But we were looking at how salvation is an aspect of our response, but also of God's working in our hearts. And so we see that here with Paul in verse number 9, the very last part, the response there, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And so there's an aspect of our response, our faith and trust. And that's why in the Bible we often see see Christians called believers. And then on the other side, God's working in our hearts. And that's why sometimes the Bible speaks of believers or Christians as the elect. And this passage is very interesting. The end of verse number 12 is, we just noticed this right at the end a couple weeks ago, where it says, Paul said, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. And that word apprehended, it comes from a word that means to grab to take, but it's a emphasized word, and so it means to seize or to arrest. And so Paul was really arrested on the Damascus Road, not by any law, but by Christ himself. Christ in his glory met him there and touched his heart, and Paul responded to that and got saved, and the rest is history, as you'd say. And so we looked at that. It's been 30 years now when he writes this book of Philippians, since that day on the Damascus Road. And it is interesting that the grip that God had on him, Christ got on him, he never let that go, and he never lost that. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That grip that Christ had on him had never been let go, and that's our security, that's our assurance, that when Christ grips you in salvation, he will never let you go. And what a blessing it is. Yet, you notice verse 12, there's another statement here right before that part that he was apprehended by Christ. It says that I may apprehend, same term, to seize, to arrest, to grab, to hold on to forcefully, grip it, so that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. So there's something here where he's saying Jesus has grabbed hold of me for something. And he said, you know what? I want to grab hold of whatever he's grabbed hold of me for. So there's a very interesting dynamic here that I really want to see. So I called this the grasp of God's people. Last time I called it the grasp of God. But I want to talk about the grasp of God's people. So very interesting there. Now you can look at a number of ways of what Christ grabbed Paul for. And you look in the book of Acts, in fact, that day he was saved on the Damascus Road, that Jesus said this to Ananias about Paul. He said this, he said, he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So he had a mission to go to everyone, really. Later on, Paul said this about himself, about his own life. He says, "Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." So that's an aspect of what Christ had apprehended him for. And he says, you know what, I want to apprehend. I want to finish my course. I want to do that. But in the context here of Philippians 3, I think there's something different. So it's not that it excludes those. That's part of it. But Paul said there's something else, I think, that he was grabbing hold of. And so I wanted to ask you some questions here in a little bit. So he says there, and it's there, still in verse number 12, right back, so we're sort of working backwards. He says, "But I follow after, if that I may apprehend," that I can grab hold of that which Christ has apprehended me for, grab hold of me. And so he says, "I'm going to follow after." And that's the same word if you look down in verse 14 where it says, "I press." It's the same word, same tense. And so it's the aspect of going after, pursuing something or someone. And what's interesting, you go back up to verse 6, and the same word's used in verse 6. Anyone want to guess there as you read verse 6? What is the word there that's "I follow after," and then verse 14, "I press," verse 6? Persecuting, okay? So when Paul, before he got saved, he said, "I used to pursue people to hurt them." And now he's saying, you know, I'm pursuing something else. I'm pursuing what God would have me do, or something he's got for me to pursue. That's what I'm pursuing now. And so of course, the Lord had changed him. So looking back up above verse 12, does Paul mention anything that he's pursuing, that he is out to grab hold of, out to make his own? Anybody see something prior to verse 12? There's a number of answers that. Okay, that's no good. You're telling me. Yeah, no, it's true. Verse number 11. Let me just start right there and we'll work our way up. But he says there in verse number 11, he says, "If by any means that I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead." And so he said, man, I got to grab hold. That's what I'm striving for. Now, stop a moment. Let me ask you. So the word resurrection here is interesting. It's a noun. It's only found this time in the New Testament, though there are verb forms that are very similar, but the noun form is only found here. And it has aspect of rising, yes, but has a prefix to it that means out of. So the aspect of resurrection or rising out of from the dead. I'm rising away from the dead, okay, in which we say, okay. So if Paul said, "I want to attain that," let me ask you, can anybody attain our eternal resurrection unto heaven? Is there any way that we can work our way to gain that? No. Okay, the resurrection rapture, that's part of salvation. That's part of what he gives us. So, let me ask you a question. Is there another way in which a believer experiences resurrection from the dead outside of that end time scenario of the rapture resurrection? Okay. Okay, so do you think that's what Paul's trying to attain? Okay. There's an aspect of that on when you're out of it, you're there, but you're not. Yeah. That's true. And I can see how, but let me ask you, in elsewhere in the scripture that would be for all of us, is there another aspect of resurrection? Well, what's we're talking, rapture, resurrection. Is there another thing? What? Yes, there we go. There's an aspect of when we get saved, there's a resurrection from the dead. Now, let me just go over to Colossians 3 a moment. I want to just share a little bit with you that I think that something that he was, Colossians 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things in this earth, for ye are dead. Now let me stop a moment, okay? This is not like Ephesians 2, where it says you are dead in trespasses and sins, because he's speaking to the saved here, to believers. So in what way are we dead? Rick? Yeah, I think both of those. One said dead to sin and dead to self. I think both of those are aspects of that. In fact, verse number 2, It says, hey, you set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. You set them there because that's where Christ is at, because you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is up there. That should be your focus, is heavenly truth. Okay, now we still live on this earth, understandably. Okay, so thinking about that, that this was written to believers, and that's like Paul said in Galatians 6:14, where he said, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. Okay, the world's crucified when there's changes in your internal desires. The things out there are dying to you. And then he also says, and I unto the world. In other words, when there's a transformation of your heart, sometimes your old friends don't want anything to do with you. That you die, to them. There's an aspect in them dying to you. They don't necessarily want to be around you. And Peter talks about that. So I think Paul's thought in Philippians 3:11 has to do with growth. So there's an aspect when you and I, when we trust Christ, that we're united with Jesus, and in that uniting with Jesus, there's aspects where we're dead and we're alive, okay? That's salvation. But there's an aspect to that dying to self, dying to sin, and alive unto Christ that is growing. Okay, so it is a one-time thing. We're settled. We know we're on our way to heaven, but there's an aspect of personal growth into that, and that's what Rick was talking about. I think Romans 6 talks about dying to self. How many of you got that nailed down? Dying to self. You know, we haven't got it yet. And how else are fully living unto God? Well, we're still working on it. And I think what Paul was saying here in verse number 11, he says, I've got back there in Philippians, he said, you know what? I want to attain into that resurrection of the dead. I want to get away from, I'm dead to this life. I'm dead to this world. But you know, I haven't quite got that down yet, and I'm still growing in that. Now, going from there, if you go back to verses 8 and 10, okay, and I'm thinking of something here, what is a repeated concept that Paul mentions here that I believe is the ultimate ambition? So his ambition is that resurrection out of the dead, to really be living in the Spirit of God and really a fullness of God's Spirit. But in verses 8 and verse 10, there's something else he mentions here, which I think is even an ultimater ambition. Mentions in both of those. The knowledge of Christ, okay? The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus the Lord in verse 8. In fact, notice the last three words, or last five words, that I may win Christ. And then you come down to verse 10, that I may know him. And I think that's really what he's ultimately getting to. Christ grabbed hold of me, Paul says, and my ambition is to grab hold of him. Yes, I want to do his will. I've got a mission to perform. But you know what? He grips me, and I want to grip him. I want to know him. And so salvation is when God gripped us, and then our growth in Christ is us getting a hold of Christ. I want to just know him. I want to be intimate with him. I want to have him as a friend, as a companion. I want to know that when I get down to pray or I'm heading down the freeway, I can talk to him just like I'm talking to someone who's sitting in my car. And I want to know that he knows me and that I know him and we're walking together. That's how God wants us to have. So that when you and I bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer, that we know. We're talking to whom we know. So it takes away the doubts. It takes away the fears because he's right there going through me with the MRI. But Paul just said, I want to know him. I really do. And he says, when I compare that in verse 8, he says, when I think about knowing Christ, when I compare it with anything else in life is like dung. Yeah, that's a pretty staunch declaration about life. He said, if it's a comparison, he's not saying all of life is dung. He's just saying when I make that comparison, it just everything else fades. And it's nothing that it just fades, it stinks. And nothing that it stinks, it's something I want to get rid of. He said, I don't do that. So and at the end of verse 8, it's very interesting. He says let me just read verse 8 altogether. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but that's okay, and I count them as dung, that I may win Christ. So it's interesting that word when, as I was just looking up references and concordance, and it's used over when Jesus said this, for what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And that word gain there is the same word here that says when. And so I was thinking about, what is it to gain the world? Of course, it would include its wealth, but it's an aspect of experiencing all that the world has to offer. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. He says that's that experience of having that. He said that's not worth your eternal soul. That's what Jesus, but it's that experience that the world offers. It's also used over in Acts chapter, in fact, I didn't write down the reference, when Paul was going on his voyage to Rome, and they stopped by in Crete, and they were stopped there, and it doesn't tell us in that narrative, but later on Paul says this to them. He said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and had not loosed from Crete. So when they're in Crete, apparently he talked to the centurion, he talked to the captain of the ship, and it says, hey, I sense that God's saying, let's don't go. I don't think we should sail. But then they saw the wind had died down, and they said, hey, let's go ahead and go. And then they were out at sea there, more or less lost at sea. I mean, they knew where sort of where they were heading, but 14 days. And it says they lost all hope, and so they didn't know if they would be saved and get to land. And so at that time, Paul finishes this statement. He says, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete, and to have, and the next word is gained this harm and loss. And that's that same word that we're looking at here, to win Christ. And so again, you guys wouldn't be experiencing this dreadful catastrophe right now if you'd listen to me. And so again, the word has an aspect of experiencing something, having it so it becomes yours, but it becomes yours by experiencing that very thing. And so I think when Paul, and of course Paul after that says, hey guys, just want you to know, be encouraged. He said, the ship's going to be destroyed, but you all are going to live to tell about it. And so they made it through. But anyway, the thought here that I want to share, when Paul says, I want to win Christ, he says, I want a personal experience with my Savior. I want an intimacy that is real and genuine, that I can tell people, hey, I just talked to Christ this morning. I just talked to the Lord today. And it was real. It was vivid. And so Paul said, nothing else is worth much. I could ditch everything else as long as I could continue on and gain that a grip on my Savior. So let's look at there again, verse 9. He says, this begins with salvation. It begins not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So that's where it begins. And then you come down to verse 10, that I may know him. And then after that, he talks about two aspects of how to go about knowing Christ. And what's the first one there? And Arden's mentioned it a couple of times already. The power of his resurrection, okay? And so we're talking about that. We'll come back to that. And the second thing is the fellowship of his sufferings. And so remember, fellowship means a joint participation. It doesn't mean they were sitting down on a meal. It just means you're participating together. And so he said, I want to participate together with my Savior in suffering. Now you think, wow, that's pretty weird, Paul. Well, he had a personal reason for that, which I'll talk about in a moment. But Jesus said this in John 15, 18. If the world hates you, you know it hated me before it hated you. Folks, there's something about when we go through suffering. We could just call it life suffering, but it's even more when you suffer for Christ's sake. That means you're going through things because of standing and identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think there's things we learn about Jesus that we don't learn in any other way. It's those trials, those difficulties, those struggles. That's where we get to know Christ in a greater way. Because what we all know this. I mean, it's human nature. Things are going well. Hey, great. You know, you still pray for your food. You still read your Bible. You still pray. You still come to church. You do all those things. But some about it when maybe you're witnessing to someone at work and all of a sudden they just reject you and they say something real callous about you. Man, it wounds your heart. You say, oh, brother, man. And then all of a sudden your time with Christ becomes ever more intense. You know, when you're going through difficulties and you don't know how the bills are going to get paid and you say, God, I need your help. When you're facing situations and you need the help of the brethren, I mean, all of a sudden church becomes ever more important. And so we know that through those suffering times that Christ wants to teach us something that I believe with all my heart, there are things you will not learn about Christ unless you go through those dark times. And I'm not saying that we love to go to the dark times. I mean, but our society has gotten so enamored with painless existence that we run from all of that. And I'm not saying you say, yahoo, I want to go. I'm not saying go dive into it. You know, if you're in a place where they were persecuting Christians, you don't go set yourself up for persecution. But at the same time, God says, there's things I want you to learn about me. And when you know that standing for me somewhere is going to be difficult, he said, go ahead and do it. Because there's something you can learn about me through that. But let me show you something that I think is really interesting that Paul says here. Because it doesn't end right there. But it's in there for a purpose. He says, the fellowship of sufferings, and in connecting with that, it's a participle saying, okay, in that sufferings, through that I'll be being made conformable unto his death. Okay, conformable means like molding a piece of clay. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be crucified like Christ was, but it says in that difficulty, in that trouble, somehow I come to death. And what Rick said, death to self. There's an aspect of dying to sin, dying to my own way, dying to all of that. That he says, I want to go through that fellowship of suffering because I want to be conformable unto his death. And then he gets to verse number 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of dead. So Paul said, you know what? I want to know Christ. And I want to know his power in my life. I want to see him use me to minister to others. And so, Lord, I want to fellowship with your suffering so I can be conformed to the image of your down. In other words, I want to die to self and die to my own ways so that I may experience the resurrection from out of the death, life's death, so I may know your power in my life. And so it's almost say, you know, I'm willing to go whatever I need to go through, Lord, so I can know you and know your power in my heart and in my life. Let me show you something. Go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going a little bit late, but I'll be almost done here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 8. An interesting statement here Paul makes. He says, we are troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. So we're going through difficulties, but we're not giving up. We're not losing hope. Verse 9, persecuted, but not forsaken. God's always with us. Cast down, but not destroyed. And then he says in verse 10, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, he wasn't, I mean, a lot of times, as Brother Carlos mentioned, you know, he was near-death experiences a number of times. But I think what he's saying here, he says, just all through my ministry, in my body, in my physical, we're facing death. I guess you could say almost death-defying situations. They didn't die. But here he says, everywhere we go, we're facing that persecution, that difficulty, that trouble. Dying of our Lord Jesus, and what? That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Folks, God says, I want to use you, but you're not going to be used unless you go through that struggle. Verse 11, for we which live are always delivered. It's almost like he said, this is inevitable if you're really living for Christ. We which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. He says, I'm putting you through difficulties so you die to self, so that you have life to minister to other people. You know, unless a seed fall into the ground, Jesus said, unless the seed fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. You know, too many Christians are abiding alone. They're doing okay. They're going to church. They're reading their Bible. They're praying. But they're not ministering to people. And sometimes God says, boy, you got to... It's not that you desire. You just say, God, I'm willing to go through whatever I need to, so I die to self so you can use me. As Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so we want that Christ life. And really, though it doesn't say power of resurrection here in 2 Corinthians, that's the concept, that we die so we know life. So go back to 2 Corinthians here, Philippians, and I'll close. I just want to go through the whole passage there and sort of comment on some thoughts there as we go through. So starting in verse number 10, that I may know him, okay, in two ways, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. And as you go into that fellowship of the sufferings, I'm going through that. I'm willing to go through that. It's okay to go through that so that I can be conformed to unto his death, that in the process of that, as I look to Christ during that difficult time, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, that I might have his power, that I'll not be yielding to temptation and spiritual defeat. And then verse 12, not as though I'd already attained. I haven't made it yet. I haven't got to where I want to be spiritually and knowing my Savior and serving Him. Neither was I already perfect. That doesn't mean spirit, you know, sinless perfection. But in the sense I haven't completed everything. In other words, I want to grab hold of Christ and I've not completed that full grip yet. And of course, you will never, you know, probably not till you get to heaven, but there's an aspect there. I'm not satisfied with how well I know Christ yet. And so he continues in verse number 12. But I follow after, I'm pressing on, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Then he says, brethren, there's always more to grasp. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I've not gripped him fully yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I'm not going to forget my relationship with Christ, but you know those experiences I've had in prayer, those times in service, I've seen God work in me and through me and around me and for me. You know what? Those are great. But you know what? That's not tomorrow. That's not today. That's last week and last year and several years ago. He said, I still got to gain these things. So I still want on going forward. So he goes on, I'm going to forget the things that are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark. And I thought this is interesting. The target. I'm pressing to the target. In context, the target seems I want to know him. I want to know him. Now, he wants to finish his mission. We know that from other passages, very clear. But I think in the context here, the mark is the blessing of knowing Christ. And that's sort of the prize. There's a prize in heaven. We'll be rewarded. But I think we're saying, you know what? One of the greatest blessings while we're still in this life, I want to hit that mark. That mark is filled with a prize. It's the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That high calling is that I get to know him. And I know there's other applications, but I'm just thinking of that one thing. I want to know him. That's the prize. And then verse 15 is interesting. I know we didn't read it. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect. Okay, you that are walking with God, be thus minded. If you're mature, be thus minded. Have that attitude. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this unto you. You know what? I hope you guys get your life right with God. He says, if that's not your ambition, there's something wrong with you. Okay? So I hope you keep that same attitude. Verse 16. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, as far as you've gotten in your relationship with Christ, he said, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same. So a thought here as we close. Is your ambition to know Christ? And there's a lot of other things. I understand the Christian life to do, but that's one thing that we need to really have a desire. And so I wrote it in this way. Let's pray. Lord, I count all else but dung. In this life, help me to know you in death so that I may know you in resurrection power. That's not easy. Sometimes just stop a moment, think about that. What would I be willing to go through so I could know Christ? What am I willing to go through so I could be used in his service? And if really you feel uneasy about praying that, pray this prayer. Lord, give me a desire to know you above everything else. And God will work in your heart. And we may never get quite to the level of the Apostle Paul. But even if we could get somewhat up on that level and say, Lord, that's my ambition. That's my goal. That's my desire. Someone said, you know, it's hard to touch a star. But you know what? If you try to touch it, at least you'll get a little closer than just sitting around and say, oh, I can't do that. So may God's truth get a hold of us. And may we say, boy, that's what I want. I want to know him in his power. And to know that power, really, I've got to go through the valley so I can come on the other side of new life in its fullness. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Again, for the reminder of a desire we should have to know you. And Lord, we know there's so much involved in that. We thank you that you are an infinite being. And Lord, no matter how many years that we are able to live in this life, even if we were able to live as they were in before the flood of 900 years, Lord, we know that they can never exhaust what it is to know you and what we could learn about you and building our relationship with you. Oh, Lord, we pray that you give us that ambition, that drive, that desire, oh, Lord, to please you. And Lord, we know that in knowing you, that you will use us and you will give us ministries and ministry to fulfill for your honor and glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.